This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring author, psychologist, and daily contributor, Siobhan Scott.
Rex Hierman being charged with a fourth murder of one of the victims on Gilgo Beach. This one not all that unexpected to eventually be charged to him, and now it is. Maureen Brainerd Barnes, who was 25 years old when she lost her life, her body found on Gilgo Beach with the other three victims that Rex Hierman is being charged with killing. Joining me to discuss the latest development, Siobhan Scott, psychotherapist and author. I don't think it's a big surprise, like I said, for anyone that this charge was levied against him. What are your thoughts? It's another one. I'm just wondering how deep this is going to continue to go.
Yeah, I think we expected it. So I hope that this continues to move forward. And I hope that, you know, that this is helpful to families if they can eventually get some sense of peace about understanding at least what happened.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. I mean, the prosecution saying that now we're going to be moving on to about six other potential bodies to see if maybe we can connect something there. Who knows where that will go? Let's talk about the impact, though, of what was found on the body. Again, we have DNA that was found there. Again, it wasn't Rex Hierman's. It was his wife's. On one of the other bodies, we also learned that his daughter's hair was found on one of the bodies. What's it got to be like for that family right now? Let's assume they have nothing to do with this. It was very much a hoarder house, so I would almost assume hair is probably on everything in that house. Yeah. So the fact that it made duct tape or a burlap sack, not all that shocking. But to have your own DNA discovered on the victims and you're not charged with anything, that can't be an easy pill to swallow.
No, absolutely horrifying. And we'll go on the assumption, particularly with the kids, that they had nothing to do with any of this. Mm-hmm. And it's hard enough having a parent who's, you know, suspected of doing something like this, because of course you carry half your parents' DNA. You feel like I am part of my parent, and it's absolutely devastating for people. And yeah, it's just that part of it is a nightmare. We wish that they would find his hair and, you know, that the family could feel more of a sense of separation from it.
The question has been asked to Asa Elrup of, okay, well, where were you when this happened? Or at least she's made statements every time one of these victims has been named and the charges have been brought against her husband. And the reaction every single time has been, I was out of town. Okay. And if you can prove that with receipts of some sort, great. And I believe that has been done in some of these instances. But it does seem to be an interesting reaction every single time. I was out of town. We're talking going back here to the late 90s, early 2000s, and being able to pinpoint exactly where you were and when. That can't be an easy task. And I do wonder why that is the, I'm going to say, knee-jerk reaction every single time to this. Maybe it's true. But if you were out of town every single time, why were you out of town every single time? Was there some sort of knowledge, I'm wondering, of that he liked to hang out with sex workers? Not necessarily going and murdering them, like, honey, I'm going out of town so you can kill another one, but more so, you know, was there some sort of arrangement here of he does this, I go out of town, and it's just kind of how it works? What are your thoughts on that? I mean, it's pure speculation.
Yeah, it's certainly possible, but there are definite types of criminal offenders who plan their activities, whatever those activities may be, for when their spouses are gone. Mm-hmm. And so I guess you could go either way with that. It's horrifying to, you know, there's been so much speculation that she was aware of a lot of this going on and people have made different allegations. It's horrifying mm-hmm. to think that somebody could be aware that something like this was happening and to then continue to live with the person and basically live with this acceptance of that. But yeah, agree. I think going back to the 90s, I can't tell you where I was in the 90s at any given time. You know, I think I remember the street address I lived on most of the time, but that's probably about it. I don't know the phone number back then.
Yeah.
But they may have asked her to go back and put records together. And if they had records going back that far, she may have had work obligations or other things that she traveled regularly. And there are cases where criminals plan according to when their spouse is gone. So it could certainly be that.
It doesn't seem criminal or anything on the surface, but if she does in fact come back at some point and say, yeah, I was aware that he was into these sort of things, not again, not murder, but into this, And for most of the time saying, I had no idea any of this. Does that put her in any sort of liability, you think? Or what kind of an individual necessarily are we talking about here? Are we talking about someone who is like just basically a scared victim who may say some things at one moment because they're just trying to defend themselves. They're trying to keep themselves safe from any sort of prosecution or any sort of this getting worse for them and their family. And assuming that she didn't have anything to do with this, but then, you know, maybe not necessarily wanting to speak to the improprieties of her husband or knowing that they were going on or allowing them to go on. Is that something that you would maybe see in a situation like this of someone not wanting to admit their own issues for ego of being the wife of a husband who had such a horrible appetite for sex workers?
Yeah, it's hard to imagine being Asa.
Yeah.
You know, what in the world would be going on for a person like that if she had this knowledge, mm-hmm. even about the sex workers on a regular basis? How could a person live with that? I think it's hard for most of us to imagine what that would be like. But again, we don't know enough about her history and what other psychological problems she might be dealing with. Mm-hmm. And there are people who, because of various dependencies, whether it's economic or, you know, emotional or who knows the types of control that scary people can inflict on spouses, yeah. she may have felt so disempowered that she just didn't see an alternative for herself.
Yeah, which could very well be a reality here. He's behind bars, has, you know, innocent till proven guilty. And if he is the monster that we are learning he may very well likely be, if you're the spouse of that, I think the biggest fear you may have at that moment in time is him getting out or him yeah. being found innocent and coming back. So everything you say, whether you divorce him or not, if he's capable of doing those sort of things and you believe it, what is he capable of doing to you? And
yeah.
I could see even from behind bars, still him wielding some amount of power and control over what she's willing to say aloud.
Yeah, very much. Victims of extremely pathological men, female victims, they can be continually terrified, even when the person is behind bars, even when they're going to be behind bars for the rest of their life, because that fear lives on in their mind,
yeah.
you know, and so they can continue to feel overpowered by it.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.